Well, this is the second week of the series that we're calling Staying Power. It's our summer series, and it's all about how to grow in your faith by making and keeping spiritual commitments. Growing in your faith is really one of the most important things you can do. Actually, we're going to argue that it's the most important thing you do. Spiritual growth matters because if you're not interested in growing spiritually, you're actually placing yourself at a disadvantage. Spiritual growth helps you to identify your purpose in life. It helps you to become the best version of yourself. It helps you to love yourself and to love other people the way you want to, but often fail to. And so we think that the most important objective that you can have in life is to grow spiritually. It's actually more important than your job, your career, your relationships, and even your family. Because when you grow in your faith, you will be successful in all those other areas of your life. But here's the catch. Like anything else worthwhile, in order to grow spiritually, you've got to make and keep commitments, right? You can't grow in anything. You can't get better at anything unless you commit to it, right? So it's the same with your faith. And commitment takes perseverance. It takes what we're calling staying power. In fact, we heard last week about some of the mistakes that Jesus' own disciples made when it came to being disciples, when it came to growing in their faith. They were missteps like procrastinating, or failing to count the cost of discipleship, making a half-hearted commitment. They learned the hard way that discipleship takes sacrifice. It takes radical commitment and the willingness to make it your first priority in life. Staying power is absolutely necessary for spiritual growth, also because everything in your life feels more important than spiritual growth, right? Everything feels more urgent, more real than your spiritual life. I know my spiritual life is important, but I'll take care of that later. I got to take care of the kids. I got to pick them up from school. I got to get them to soccer practice, whatever, right? Everything gets in the way of making spiritual commitments. And the other problem is that if you want to grow spiritually, it takes time. It can't be done overnight. There are no shortcuts. There's no silver bullets. It takes consistent effort and perseverance and staying power. And so in this series, what we're wanting to do is to help you think about what maybe your next step in faith could be. What could be your next commitment to God, to your faith, that you haven't already made, and we want to help you stick with it. Now, of course, there's lots of commitments that you could make, but we're going to talk about a few commitments that we think are really crucial. Things like serving in ministry or missions, tithing and giving, engaging in a small group, practicing prayer, reading the Bible, and sharing your faith with others. And over the next few weeks, we're going to be digging down deeper into each of these steps. And for some of you, it'll be the first time that maybe you've thought about this or even heard about it. And for others, we hope it'll be a reminder and an encouragement to keep your commitment to them. And for maybe some of you who used to be committed to some of these things but maybe have kind of fallen away, it might be an invitation to get recommitted. Now today we're going to be looking at the hardest of all of these commitments. It's the hardest one of all, and it's the most difficult one. It's difficult for all Christians, but I think it's especially hard for Catholics, the way Catholics were raised. It's actually a pretty high hurdle. In fact, you might talk to a lot of Catholics who would say, why do we even need to do this? This really isn't a step I need to take. This isn't a spiritual commitment. Well, what I'm talking about is sharing your faith. Sharing your faith with other people. And I'm not just talking about sharing your faith with other people of faith. That's relatively easy. I'm talking about sharing your faith with people who have no faith, people that we call the unchurched, people who are not affiliated with a church or any other kind of house of worship. Now, I've been doing this long enough that I know probably what some of you are thinking. You have a couple of objections. You have some pushbacks. You're like, Father, I'm not equipped to share my faith. I don't know all the books of the Bible. I don't know why bad things happen to good people. I can't explain that to other people. I don't know how Noah got all those dinosaurs on the ark. I have no idea. And you might think that's an obstacle to sharing your faith, but it's not. You're not called to be a theologian. You're not called to defend your faith strictly. What you're called to do is share your faith by the way you live. You don't have to be a scholar to share your faith. But you also may be thinking, all right, well, I can maybe buy that, but my faith is personal and it's always private. It's a private matter. I don't want to share it with other people. Well, if you're thinking that, you're half right. Your faith is personal because it's yours. But if your faith is the Christian faith, it's not at all private. It's meant to be lived in a community, and you're meant to give expression to it out in the world out there, as we'll see. Now, perhaps the most common pushback is, I don't want to impose my religion, my beliefs on anyone else. Well, the good news is I don't want you to do that either. Not like that guy you saw on the screen. I don't want you to impose your faith onto others. That's obnoxious. What we're talking about is sharing your faith. And that's very different than imposing your religion. Sharing your faith is more about being who you are authentically in God, living your faith so that you reflect Christ to other people. They see Christ in you and they're interested. And so today we're going to look at how sharing your faith helps you to grow spiritually. There's actually some benefits to it. There are advantages to sharing your faith. And I want to share with you three of those advantages. And then I want to tell you three steps that you can share your faith painlessly and easily. So here are the three benefits to you for sharing your faith. First of all, it helps you grow in your love for God. Whenever you're aligned with someone else, right, in a mission that you have together, you're obviously going to grow in affection and love for one another. When you're together with someone on a mission, you grow in love together. And God's mission, the mission that he gave to his son, and the mission that his son gave to all of us, all of his followers, is to go and make disciples, to share in that mission. When Jesus called Peter and the other apostles, you might remember this from the Gospel of Matthew, right? Do you remember what he said? He said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. He didn't say, I'll make you smarter, I'll make you richer, I'll make you happier, I'll make you more popular. He didn't even say, I'll make you holier. He said, I'll make you fishers of men and women. See, following Jesus fully means that we're kind of on a fishing expedition for the people out there who really need to hear a word of faith. That was Jesus' mission. And when we adopt that as our mission, our main mission in life, then we're aligned with Jesus. And because of that, we're going to grow in our love for God. And as people of faith, you obviously want to grow in your love for God. So that's the first benefit to sharing your faith. Well, the second benefit to sharing your faith is that it helps you grow in love for other people, for your neighbor. See, the gospel is the good news, right? We call it that. It's the good news. It's supposed to be good news that, you know, Jesus died for us. He rose from the dead to show us another way of living, a new way of life. And sharing your faith means working to bring the good news of God's love and mercy to people who don't know it and who need to know it. I guarantee you there are people all around you who don't know the good news of the gospel. They either have never heard it, or more likely they grew up with some religion. Maybe they grew up Catholic or some other tradition in the Christian faith, but maybe they were only exposed to it superficially, or maybe they haven't even thought about it for decades since they were kids. And now they have plenty of misconceptions about what the Christian faith is all about and what the church is all about. What they now know is kind of like a muddled mess, you know, of what they think they remember from confirmation class back in the 8th grade and what they learned from the Da Vinci Code. And when you can speak into that muddled mess, then it actually has some benefits for you, because it means you're shifting the focus away from yourself and on to the other person. And that's absolutely crucial if you want to grow spiritually. Loving others, focusing on others by telling them the good news about God is a great way to prevent selfishness in ourselves, you know, and kind of guard against that inclination we all have to be self-absorbed. And when we're self-absorbed, it kills spiritual growth. So to share your faith helps you to grow in your own faith by learning to love other people and shifting the focus away from yourself. Well, the third benefit to sharing your faith is that you will understand it more deeply. You'll understand your own faith more deeply if you share it with someone else. There's an old adage in the medical profession: see one, do one, teach one. It's what medical residents and interns learn to do straight out of medical school, right? They go to a teaching hospital, into a residency program. You've probably seen this on Grey's Anatomy, right? So the first thing they're expected to do is to watch an experienced doctor perform a procedure. And then they're expected to do that procedure. And then they're expected to teach that procedure to someone else. I suppose it's a little scary, especially for the patient. But the idea is that you never really learn something completely until you teach it to someone else. It was the same way with Jesus' disciples. You know, they had watched him teach people. They had watched him heal people, cast out demons, forgive people, speak a word of kindness and love to them. But it wasn't until the disciples actually went out to teach other people that they really got it. You know, I told you last week that Jesus was sort of disappointed with his disciples at this point in the Gospel of Luke. They had had a lot of misfires. You know, they were arguing with each other about who was the most important. They were unable to perform a basic miracle, you know. And so Jesus was realizing that they needed more training. What's the first thing that he did once he realized that they needed more training? He did it today in the gospel. He sent them out. He sent them out to teach other people and to cure them and to actually do the work, because then they would actually learn it. They would finally get it. You can watch other people share their faith. You can watch all kinds of things happening in the church. You can sit on the sidelines and applaud the doers in the church. But honestly, until you actually do it yourself and teach others to do it, your faith will just, it really won't be able to grow and develop. So let me just give you a few ways that you can commit to sharing your faith. Actually, these are three simple, easy, painless steps. You're gonna laugh. They're so easy. Number one, the first thing you want to do is identify who you need to share your faith with, right? You don't want to just go out on the street and be a street preacher. I mean, I don't think you do. It might be a little embarrassing. You might get a lot of rejection. You want to carefully consider who might be ready to hear something about faith in your life. And this is exactly what Jesus did in the gospel today. When he sent his disciples out, he didn't just say, go wherever you feel like it, you know, wherever the wind takes you, to whoever you want to talk to. No, here's what he said in the gospel. Jesus appointed 72 of his disciples, and he sent them out in pairs. Where did he send them? To every town and place he intended to visit. There's no indication of why Jesus chose those towns and not other ones, but he did make it his intention to go there. He identified his target audience. He figured out who he really needed to talk to. And you can do the same thing. Think about all your friends and your family members, your coworkers, people in school with you, people who are not connected to Christ and his church. And let me tell you, that's probably the easiest thing in the world to do, because they are all around you, especially if you live here in Marin County. But it means you have to be on the lookout for them. You have to be paying attention at work or on the playground, on the soccer, in the lacrosse fields, in your home, your school, your neighborhood. Pay attention to who really needs a word of faith. And once his disciples knew where they were going and who they were going to talk to, Jesus gave them the second step. Here's what he said. He said, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest." And then he said, "Into whatever house you go, say peace to this household." Now, what was he doing there with that kind of fancy language? You see, before doing anything else, he wanted his disciples to pray for the people that they were going to visit. Pray for them. Bless them with peace. Pray that God would send more people out to change their hearts. Jesus knew how earnestly God loves people who are far from him. Jesus knew how much God wants people to come home to him. So he told his disciples to pray that God would send more people to open their hearts. And you can pray for the people around you who don't know Christ. You can pray a blessing for them in your heart and ask the Holy Spirit to open their hearts and to give them peace. And then he told them this. Jesus told his disciples this. It's kind of a strange instruction. He says, "Stay in the same house and eat and drink whatever is offered to you. Don't go about from house to house. Whatever town you enter, eat what is set before you." Now, why would he say that? Well, Jesus wanted his disciples to enter fully into the lives of the people they would share their faith with and actually invest in them. You know, the Pharisees, that sect of Jewish religious leaders, they would often travel from town to town and they would preach to the people, but they would not dine or care about or be with people that they thought were undesirable. That wasn't Jesus's way. He said, if they welcome you, eat with them, spend time with them, get to know them, care about them, invest in them. And that's the second step. After you identify who you need to talk to, invest in them. And you can invest in the people around you in whatever way is available and appropriate. You can invest in them through prayer, as we just said. But don't just pray for the unchurched. Don't just pray from afar. Get involved. Get in their lives. I mean, don't be nosy. I mean, don't be pushy. But be open and available to them. Be a person that's easy to talk to and generous and kind, people that they would want to be around. And then there's the last step. After you identify who you need to talk to, after you invest in their lives, then invite them. Invite them to consider faith as an option in their lives. Jesus put it this way. He said, "Say to them, the kingdom of God is at hand for you." Well, that may be a little cumbersome to say to someone over a dinner at the yacht club or a little awkward over a coffee at Pete's. I get that. So there's a simpler way you can do that. When the time is right, when it feels right, just invite that person to church. It's that simple. It's that easy. Sooner or later, there will be circumstances in that person's lives where you'll say, "Now's the time. Now's the time. I'm just going to a simple invitation." And don't just invite them to go to your church. Say, "Come with me to church. I want to go with you to church." Or if you don't feel ready to go to church, let's watch it together online. And you know, you think that people would reject that, and they may not take you up on the invitation, but I promise you, 9 times out of 10, they will be grateful that you asked. Even if they're not a person of faith, they will be grateful that you asked. And this is really the reason that we take so much care with our weekend services here. The reason we invest so much time and money and energy into preparing amazing music. These musicians practice all week long. They're pros, but they still have to practice, and they give us great music. It's why we spend so much time on our homilies. I mean, I have a team of people that help me draft these and edit these, hours and hours of well-prepared homilies. It's why we try everything we can to create an amazing experience for you here at church so that you will feel comfortable inviting your friends to church. You won't be embarrassed of your church. Every week, without fail, we bring our A game to these masses on the weekend. So the experience will be consistently excellent, and you can be proud to invite new people. To put it simply, we're just trying not to screw it up. It's not easy. It's hard work. It takes hours and hours of preparation and rehearsal. No one comes here. No one who serves you at this mass comes unprepared. Everyone practices, right down to the lectors. It's hard work, but like anything else worthwhile, it takes staying power. It takes perseverance. And we do it for you so that you too can have staying power.